Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So, of course, it's Money Monday because it's Monday, February 1st. Of course, the, what do we call that thing? The Hawkeye Caucus going on tonight, the Iowa caucus. And I do not want to talk about it today, as a matter of fact. Steve Lewis is here, my good friend, LNA Capital Advisors, lnacapitaladvisors.com. And so, but let me, I got to get this one. Can I get this one off my chest? Is that all right? Can I?
Well, how many kids I have?
No, no, oh, it's nothing. Okay. It actually has nothing to do with you. Yeah, so you know, get over yourself. So here's yesterday in a mushy Presbyterian church in Iowa, they're doing the communion, right? Oh. And the plate with the little bread, right, comes by, and a certain guy thinks it's the offering plate, so he drops cash into the, you know, move the bread out of the way and drop the cash into the plate. Who am I talking about?
Trump.
Yes.
Did he really?
Yeah, he really did.
Oh, no.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, no.
And then he kind of played it off. Oh, yeah. Oh. I thought it was the offering. You know, hey.
That's someone who goes all the time.
That's someone who goes all the time.
Oh, you know? My. What happened to you, York peppermint patties?
I think some of my brothers
there's
here at
four.
Southeastern
there's
Baptist
four left.
Theological Seminary have
Goodness
been taking advantage
gracious
of my grace and chowing
but
down.
But that's how
my
many I ate last time. How come there's...
Well, look, the bowl was pretty full before, wasn't it?
I know.
Well, that's what happens when you have a studio on the campus with
you don't take care of your
college
guests.
Students.
That's the rumor. You don't take care look, of your guests.
Look, dude, look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 pieces of candy, of which 1, 2, 3, 4, which I'm taking out right now. Hear it? I'm giving them all to
Well, here's
Steve
what happened
there
at your house Friday night.
I gave all of the York peppermint patties to
you. You
know,
you did the
Lewis
same thing Friday night. You
what
sit,
did I do?
You sit down next to me where there's a bowl. And there's 9 M&Ms in there. 9.
Oh, yeah. I did do this, didn't I?
Yes.
How many did you have?
I had 1, and you took 3 dibs in there. The first group, you grabbed 4. I grabbed 1 because I didn't want to look like, I don't know why, you're rationing these things. And then you take 2 more smacks at the thing, and they're all gone.
Do you
it's
always,
unbelievable.
Do you always count the candy and the cookies and all that
is
stuff?
Is this a Gina thing?
Do you... because I was just admiring your really wide phylactery and your really long tassels that you're going to count the candy and make sure that you're getting your fair share. You know what? There were a few left. I took the bowl out of the room and I ate them on my way to the kitchen. What's up with that?
Oh, my gosh.
But I do know Jesus and I am, you know, born again.
No, you're
so
not too convincing so far.
Anyway, it's great to have you back on, and it was fun hanging out. Your wonderful bride, Thea, you brought her. You're better 98%.
Did I bring her?
No,
I didn't
not
bring
today.
Her.
I mean Friday night when you were at the Noble. Casa del Noble.
Yeah,
you
Casa
were hanging
del
out
Noble. Yeah.
With, I throw the lingo in there because Friday night we were also hanging out with my father-in-law, the one, the only
yeah
Joseph Cozy.
Well, it's great that Joe was out there and hanging out and
yeah
playing games and putting authors of books down there. And
yeah, he tried to stump you a couple times.
Yeah, he picked my Shelby foot.
Yeah, he
absolutely.
He was digging
That's
that.
What knocked me over the top. I needed those points.
At least you two knew what you were talking about.
What was the name of the game? Anyway?
I was like, Shelby foot. Is that like Shelby steel? That was Say Anything.
Say Anything.
Pretty yeah fun game. Wasn't it? That was fun.
Yeah.
Yes? No.
I get you and Thea in the room. Say or, Anything.
Right.
It, must
literally.
Be,
yes.
Must be curtailed.
Yeah, yes,
trust me.
Yes.
Must be curtailed.
It must be curtailed. But I'm surprised that you really noticed what was happening since you were counting M&Ms the whole time. Those are the peanut butter M&Ms.
That was before we played the game where I almost dozed off.
You were a little out of it.
I was tired.
That's all right. You're here and you're ready to rock and roll. Okay. So let's deal with January and let's dive right in. And I think you wanted to mention something, an interesting thing about sermons having to do with the
well,
financial world.
I think it's you're talking about the elections, the Iowa Caucus.
Hawkeye.
So if we don't get the right person in this Hawkeye Caucus, we won't have any money.
That's exactly right.
You know, and but you know, I attended Hilltop Church and
here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area for our
Fuquay Varina
outside of
Fuquay
North Carolina.
Varina.
Yes.
And Pastor Jeff Jones of Hilltop Church in Fuquay Varina, he does his annual money sermon. And I was very uncomfortable sitting there.
Really? Why?
Well, it's, you know, when you hit truths as often as he did.
Yeah.
And I think not just at me, but the whole congregation. You know, he hit on the debt stuff and, you know, also hit on some things on people with a lot of money. And there's a couple passages in here that I went and looked up following the sermon. And if he's listening to this, I'm only going to give him credit for one of them.
But he didn't write either of them.
He didn't write any of them, but he did quote from one
yes,
of them.
Don't we all? Hopefully.
But I think we need to keep this in mind as we talk about stocks and things. And these first three are from Psalms. Psalms 50 verses 10 and 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. If I was hungry, I would not tell anyone. I mean, so why would he have to tell him? He has everything.
Right.
And in 104 and 24, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. And then in 24:1, the world is his. Now I thought of a passage in Mark 12. And I'm reading from God's Translation, the New American Standard.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Can I say that on Southeastern?
Sure you can.
Okay, good. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to about a cent, which is the Greek word lepta, which is where we get a word leaf. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned and she had that she had to live on.
Wow.
And it's so true because, and what Pastor Jones mentioned, which is interesting, is God isn't concerned with just the 10%. Mm-hmm. He's concerned with 100%.
100%.
And it's, he quoted a couple guys here. But this one I think is that you Christians trust him with your soul, but you don't trust him with your pocketbook.
Man, isn't that true?
Then he quoted someone, I forget his name, but repentance that does not reach the heart does not reach the pocketbook.
That's exactly right.
And it just, I'm sitting there listening to this because I had no way I could walk out because everybody would see me walk out.
Yeah.
And over stumbling everybody. And,
right.
But I think when we go over these things with the markets and things that we can't really control any more than I saw that the Powerball was 104 million coming up here. We still have to be good stewards of what it is. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to goof around with it. But I just kind of wanted to start off the show with that because
yeah.
It was really, really interesting as we get into the nuts and bolts in the next segment.
Yeah, very convicting to remember where we need to be storing up our treasures. Not here on earth, but of course in heaven. And here on earth, we need to be good stewards, which we'll talk about when we come back with Steve Lewis. It is Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble. It is Monday, February 1st, so it's Money Monday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. It is Money Monday here on Call to Action, first Monday of February. So our good friend Steve Lewis, LNA Capital Advisors, is in the house. And I'm glad we were talking about some scriptures. Thanks for bringing those into the story here, Steve-O, because that should be the epicenter of everything we talk about. And oftentimes, much to my chagrin, we don't. I mean, we get so busy talking about the markets and investment and how do we be good stewards of the things that we have. And even in that, which I just mentioned off the air, even in that, when I'm thinking about our retirement funds and our future, I'm generally thinking about, well, Gina and I, we have money to do this or do that when we retire. And it's all about us. And how often do I stop and go, man, it would be awesome to have some good returns so that we can take a significant portion of this and these returns and put them into the kingdom. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the worst Christian on the planet, at least here in America. But oftentimes I don't have a kingdom mindset when I'm thinking about, I almost said it, our money. That's not even our money. It's all a blessing. He owns it all. And we're stewards. And oftentimes we act like it's all our stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely, it's God's word. We protect God's word. We put it on a nice shelf and it's next to our bed.
Yeah.
You know, but when it comes with the money, man, why is it that men always sit on their wallet?
Ooh.
Why is it that it's, for men, it's in the right hiney or the left hiney?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I don't know it, but it kind of leads into, it's just neat to, you're showing me off the air about, David Platt.
David Platt yesterday was at our church. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a man he is. And, Thea didn't know, man. She would have wanted to
come
for
been
sure.
There. Well, I asked for permission. I texted our pastor, J.D. Greer, who happens to be, you hear him every day at 10 a.m. on the Truth Radio Network in North Carolina. But I asked, I said, hey, can I grab this message and whittle it down a little bit so it fits? And I want to dedicate an entire show to it, which I'm going to do on Wednesday, because it was out of Isaiah 6, Isaiah at the throne room of God, and here I am, send me. But your reaction to this holy God and to the fear of God and then your love for the nations and then serving the kingdom, it was one of the most powerful, convicting. I almost lost it many times. I held it together. But it was so powerful that I'm gonna take the whole show on Wednesday and replay it. So
yeah, it's Bible teaching churches statistically expository, and he's kind of a combination of illustrative and expository.
Yeah,
are few and far between.
Yep, that's right.
And that's why I like about Hilltop and Fuquay, because the expository stuff is where I came from.
Yeah, get that's, me right know, into the Word.
Well, it's the John MacArthur's. It is the Swindoll's, and my favorite pastor back out west was Ron Walters out there. But it kind of goes back kind of the money thing. We got to ultimately have a show here, right? We can talk about this all day long.
Absolutely.
What was really interesting Friday was, we've all heard it. We've all almost used the website. It's called Amazon.
Yes, of course.
And what Amazon did, if it was you and me, Mr. Noble.
Yes, sir.
That our profits are up 22% year over year, marking the third consecutive quarter of earnings.
Wow. Amazon.
Right. The stock opened up at 13% and down.
Yeah, see, you mentioned that to me. And I'm going, yeah. I mean, profits are blowing out, and the revenue is blowing out. But then when the stock market gets involved, all of a sudden they mark it down 13 points. How does that happen?
Well, it gets interesting. Revenues climbed 22% year over year to $35.7 billion. But fell shy, this is where the greed comes from, but fell shy of our estimate, that would be Zach's consensus estimate, of $35.9 billion. So they hit 35.7, they committed, they wanted 35.9. And so it's the lower expected results were credited to higher operating expenses and a slowdown in its fastest growing cloud computing business, notably revenues from the cloud computing businesses, Amazon Web Services. Rose, get this, 70% year over year compared with over 78% rise in the third quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
The Street, which is another analyst, like the Jaywalks in the Street, so forth, was also looking for at least 70% growth in Amazon Web Services. So that the moment the market closed on Thursday, they announced their earnings. And after hours, which goes to effect right away, they were down 13.4%. I believe they finished at negative 8, but they made up half of that already.
So they had awesome growth.
Oh, yeah.
Profits were up, but not up as much as the Street wanted. So the Street discounts it and gives them a failing grade and drops the value of the stock.
Right. So they recalculate their earnings per share.
Well, that's nothing but greed, right?
Well, because
or am I just sounding like a liberal?
Amazon, one thing about the CEO, he doesn't care. He said, I'm not here to grow your pocket. I'm here to grow my company. But some interesting companies I want to run through that are really kind of alarming is that take Tesla. Tesla's down 100 points from a year ago.
I hate Tesla. Want to know why?
Why?
Because Tesla's gotten so much government money over the years that if you took the government money out of Tesla, they'd be broke.
Well, also, not to mention the greenhouse gases it takes to make the batteries.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know what to do with that.
Spoiler alert, you actually have to use fuel to make batteries. All right.
So since 2016, Vertex Pharmaceuticals is down 60 points. Whole Foods have fallen from $58 a share to $29 since last May.
They're expensive, Whole Foods. Is
oh,
big bucks.
My gosh. Yeah. Yahoo has fallen from 56 points to 29 since a year ago. Qualcomm has dropped from 74 to 45 points since May of last year. Netflix has dropped from 132 to 92 since December.
Wow.
And Monster, boy, which my son lives on Monster at an Air Force base and at Lackland. They live on Monsters.
Yikes.
Is that they dropped from $160 a share to $130.
Wow.
So some of the headlines that are triggering all kinds of things here. This came in this morning. Is Japan triggers a global rally. Why? Because their quarter four earnings were weak, and they reduced their interest rates. And that was the rally this morning, which got us up over 122. But right now it is a negative 13.
Yeah, it was a negative 13 when I checked it.
People changed their mind. So economy downshifted. This was interesting in quarter four. This is us up to 0.7 GDP, down from 2% in quarter two, down, of course, 3.9 in quarter three. See, one thing people have to understand is that there are three estimates to the GDP. And the third estimate comes out right before the next one. And it's the first one that gets all the press.
The whole thing's a shell game.
It is a big game. Chevron's quarter four refining was very weak. Revenue dived 39% in quarter four. And China's still strong on the solar. Does that really matters to their economy? I don't.
Well, interestingly enough, and we'll get to this because after the break, we have a friend of Steve's. It's a Christian brother of ours who's here in the Raleigh-Durham area. His name's Mark Ville. I actually met him once. His son was in my Christian ethics class. And this is a Christian that's obviously lost his mind because he's running for public office. So we want to take just a couple minutes with Mark Ville.
Yeah, we've got to cut him in, don't we? Show some.
Yeah, we'll get him in here. And because I'm going to ask him, okay, you love the Lord. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Why in the world would you get into the government? Mental politics section, and then what's he hoping to accomplish there? Just a few minutes, and then we'll get back to the business at hand. But I want to talk about what happened in January. We started the month at 17,405. Today we're at 16. Nothing good. I'm trying to find it here on my
what's
little
this,
thing.
What's the stock on York
hold on,
Mints?
Hold on. Then we're at 15,960, and that's January. So what do we do with that as we move into February? We move into the midsection of the first quarter.
Can I eat these?
Yeah, those are all for you. Every single one of them, and I'm not counting because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I believe in grace.
Yeah. Right.
This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis. It is Money Monday. We'll be right back after this break and after he finishes eating all my candy. Hang on. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble and a coughing Steve Lewis, LNA Capital Advisors.
I'm coughing.
It is Money Monday here on Call to Action Radio. Why? Because it's Monday, February 1st. Of course, that's not true in every market because some people play the show the next day, like our good friends on WTIS down in Tampa, Florida. But that's okay. You can flow with it. Let's not get too uptight. Whether it's Monday or Tuesday, hey, you know, we think eternally because we're kingdom-minded people. Right, Steve Lewis?
Amen.
All right, I knew I'd get you in there. Okay, let's jump a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Mark Ville, who's running for House District 36 here in North Carolina, which is kind of in the Raleigh-Durham area. And Mark called Steve, and I had met Mark, but I had forgotten that I had met Mark because I'm about to turn 50, and I forget a lot of things. But Mark's son, Austin, was just in my Christian ethics class, which was – it was great having him in class. He had some great interaction. By the way, Dad, Mr. Ville, Austin was a delight to have in the class. But you're a Christian. You love the Lord. You're a businessman. But then you decide to throw your hat in the ring in the political realm. But I wanted to talk to you about that for a couple of minutes. Mark Ville, welcome to Call to Action. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks. I appreciate having me on today.
You're very welcome.
And by the way, I'll let you know, I listen to your show almost every day. So I get a kick out of your shows, and it's very informative.
So if you win the election,
except for today's, Mark.
Except for today's. So if you win the election and things go wrong, and they want to, are you going to like put the blame on me? Well, I was listening to Steve Noble, and I think he corrupted my mind. Or something. And if you do, that would be just fine with me.
Gotta blame somebody. I guess.
Right, that's the American way these days. All right. So Mark, you're a husband, a father, a businessman, a follower of Jesus Christ, and then you decide to run for office. What were you thinking?
Well, that's a good question, a real good question. So, you know, I'm just a regular guy, as you just mentioned, you know, raising a family, volunteering as a basketball coach, running a home inspection business. And I simply got tired. I got tired of seeing the disturbing turn that, you know, these so-called conservatives take in office as they completely begin to ignore constraints of government and they become servants to the special interest group of serving their constituents. So in late December, I was called on by several conservative groups and grassroots organizations to run against the 12-year incumbent District 36 House member. He has clearly fallen off of his conservative wagon and has become a big government spender, unfortunately.
Well, and of course, we're seeing in the national election, which we'll see tonight in the Iowa caucus, that a lot of people, not the least of which is Sean Hannity, calling it the year of the insurgency. They're grabbing some Iraq language there. But there is, not just here locally, but across the state and across the nation, in fact, obviously this massive distaste for and anger at the people that are in government and in office right now. And 85% of our incumbents get reelected all the time. It's no small hill to climb. So they called you and they wanted you to take this on, and here you are. So how's it been going so far? I mean, you've been on the outside looking in. Now you're on the inside. What's that like?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm getting a quick study in politics and all things that happen behind the closed doors and all that. But it's going well. It's going very well. We've been able to raise quite a bit of money through different folks. They're supporting this effort. Some grassroots organizations are also throwing in some money. A lot of folks are just really tired of the incumbent and you know, how much money he's been spending at the government level. And they want to change. And they called on me because they had heard and became aware of the fact that I'm a true conservative. You know, I believe in a small government, a responsible government, an accountable government. So they encouraged me to run, and here I am.
And I think it's also important when you have just, you know, regular folks running their businesses, raising their families that get in to be servant leaders and a citizenry that comes in to serve for the greater good, not for themselves. And then it's really difficult for any politician once they get in there, because then they become power brokers. And I've been around it enough in the last 12 years to know how intoxicating that is. And I think we need to, you know, I'm a big supporter of term limits, even if that means getting some really good people out. The overall effect is it's cleaning the system out, which I think we need to do. So Mark, real quick, and then I want to make sure we direct people to your website. What are kind of the top two issues that you really are passionate about that you would pursue once you got elected?
Just two?
Sure. Otherwise, I'd have to take all of Steve's time, and I don't want to do that because he's, you know, he'll hunt me down.
So definitely want to rein in the government spending. You know, we want to stop wasting taxpayers' dollars on special interest projects. Like, for example, there's a project now called Renewable Energy Subsidies, and we'll spend almost $1 billion this year on paying renewable energy subsidies of big solar corporations. And I don't know if you know it, but that's 10% of our $21 billion state budget we're spending on that.
Wow.
So first of all, I want to rein in that type of government spending. It's just awful. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars. Secondly, you know, I want to reduce the size and scope of government, resist Obamacare. I think on every turn that they're trying to implement that. And then the second thing for my district, for the southern part of Wake County, I want to build the 544 highway extension here in Southern Wake County without implementing tolling. We've got the money to build the road. We just need to stop wasting money on projects that are clearly outside the scope of government and begin to prioritize our spending on projects that are the responsibility of the state government, like highways and roads.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say that, you know, Mark, you and I have had some discussions on this, and I think getting to know you and what you are representing, and Steve just allowed you to say a couple of things, but I think he's sneaked in a third one, but is that you really are for budgeting families, and I think the incumbent is not, from some of the things that the incumbent has done in terms of taxes and the child tax credit in North Carolina being virtually eliminated, and historically the state has always followed the feds with respects to what that tax credit was, and you know, large families just got nailed, and I am a large family, and I saw the difference. I saw a big, big, big difference there, and I know there's big issues with the toll, and there's going to be some, I guess there's some lawsuits on that with respects to people having to pay toll on the west side of the county versus.
And it's not like we're Chicago. I mean, this is a number 40 market in the country.
Yeah.
It's not a massive market, but it goes to the point where it would be nice to have some elected representatives that actually try to run the government the way the rest of us run our lives. You prioritize where you spend your money. You don't spend more than you make, and you make sure you're saving and investing. And our government doesn't seem to have any ability or even an interest to do that anymore. Mark Ville, what's the website so people can check out your information and find out more about you?
Sure. It's real simple. It's Mark Forhouse. So MarkForHouse.com. MarkForHouse.com.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And I think, like you said earlier, it's very difficult to be an incumbent. So that's why I need lots of help to your help to put a real conservative to serve in the House this
that's
year.
That's exactly right. Well, that's why it's good, Mark, that it's the year of the insurgency. And I say, you know, out with the regular folks, because they've proven what they will do and what they will not do. And we need some regular servant leaders in there like yourself to help us out. Mark Ville running for House District 36. MarkForHouse.com. Thanks, Mark, for being on. And tell your son I said hello.
Thanks, Mark.
I will. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Okay, guys. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Okay, well, thanks for bringing that onto the show there, Steve-O. It's always good to hear from somebody that's, you know, kind of a person that's down there on the street level like we are. And that's a huge issue. And the more he talks about the government, the more the government, of course, impacts what we're talking about every time we do Money Monday.
Well, it just seems like that people who run and a couple years later, they seem to forget where they came from.
Yeah.
You know, and Mark is a self-employed person, and I know what he's got to pay because I am. And I see all the taxes, and you got FICA taxes, and you got to pay for your own insurance, a host of things.
You pay attention to everything. I own my own business for 14 years.
It's crazy.
And you pay attention to everything because everything matters to your bottom line. And if you don't get your bottom line right, if you don't end the year in the black, you're going to lose your business, and you're going to not be able to provide for your family. And so that's where we live. Most of us live in the real world, and the politicians, they get in there. I think a lot of them, many of them get in there. They want to do good. They have aspirations for that are borderline altruistic, but they get in there and the system only really feeds on itself, and then they begin to realize and think that they're the answer, and and all of a sudden we're the little peeps out here, and they're the kings.
Well,
as
I think
opposed
we're
to they're
that.
The employees and we're the boss.
Well, we're seeing it nationally as well, because when we look at the sectors across the United States, and we talk about sectors, you know, all the time, because that's kind of a good broad base to start.
Look at the sectors of the economy.
Yeah, and we're seeing only three right now that are in the black. We have staples, which is defensive spending, which is such as consumer goods. And again, these aren't recommendations, but you see Procter & Gamble and Dollar Tree and auto parts stores. Those types of things are doing pretty well. And then you have the telecom services and then utilities. Utilities, as expected, were coming out of the winter, and they'll be running for another 8 or 9 weeks, and then they'll be going in the other direction. But financials are down 9%. You've got industrials down 6. Healthcare is down 8%. The S&P as a whole, 5.1. And that was as of Friday. Let's see, I don't have anything different on that. Yeah, depending what charts you use, but it's all the way across the board right now.
So I'm guessing that January wasn't like on your top 10 list of fun months.
Well, a lot of my clients were in cash.
Oh no, you put them in cash?
I did.
That was actually smart.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the IRAs, you know, because it's all deferred and everything carries over, it's no cost basis. We went into a cash position. And most of them all the way back in September.
Wow.
And so the wild ride was not part of their lives. And so the linear losses were greatly reduced or mitigated completely. The taxable accounts, some people have, are a little bit more tactical because of the tax implications by just selling something.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little bit more careful with those so people don't get 1099 in January.
Yeah,
so
whammo, wow, what was that? Well, that's when you sold something and then all of a sudden the capital gains. The government always there. With their hands in your pocket. When we come back, I have some questions about the gasoline prices and how are we looking forward in the first quarter here of 2016. This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis. It is Call to Action Radio. Money Monday. We'll be right back. I know what you're thinking. You're on.
Okay. Well, it certainly doesn't sound like Barry Manilow to me.
Do you actually think
your favorite?
I would put Barry Manilow on this show because it's the Copa. Hey, Copa Cabana.
That's all you were singing around the house Friday with Barry Manilow.
North of Havana, who's our friend now, by the way, here at the Copa. Anyway, that's Steve Noble. Wow, thank you. Leave the singing up to me, dude. You don't have the holiday invoice like obviously I've been gifted with. So it's great to have you here. It's Steve Noble and Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors. The new website, by the way, is awesome, lacapitaladvisors.com. And you've got – take me down the resources page here because this is really helpful. You've got some really great information.
Yeah, the resources tab is pretty neat. You have updated daily, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. So you can go on it right now. You will see February 1st edition, tomorrow, February 2nd, and so on. You scroll down a little bit, you will see a lot of the charts that we use here on the show, the Yardini's macro trends.
Well, let me just go down this row here because you got the useful websites and up at the top of the list. I would argue that with the term useful, the Internal Revenue Service.
Well,
yeah, I'm with you. I get it. And the Social Security Administration, then the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the calculator. So smart bond investing, accrued interest calculator. That's important. Retirement calculator, super helpful. College savings calculator, which we got to do a show coming up this spring on college savings. So we'll do one on that. Loan calculator, which if you're looking at a house, savings calculator, that's super important. Now, the financial charts, which is what you were getting to. Take me through these because these are really helpful. I've learned a lot since we've started working with you personally, and now I can look at charts and know what I'm looking at. So take us through this now.
Well, those who like to do their own thing or just like to see a broad base of information, the macro trends charts are updated daily. It'll give you everything you want on all the different indexes, the Russell 2000, 3000, and so forth, the S&P 400, 500, 600 in there. And the stocks contained therein. And you have, of course, everyone heard of Yahoo Finance. I think that they do a pretty good chart.
That's a good app, by the way. I use that one.
Yeah, it's good to put in, you know, five or six stocks or eight stocks. It'll plot them all, and you determine on what moving average you want to run that against. You can also create the relative strength index and the MACDs on those as
well.
Now,
you mentioned Yardini a lot. What is that?
Yardini is a research firm that does a lot of good fundamentals and technical data with respects to the S&P 500. In this case here, you have access to the performance, which is what we referred to earlier in the show. You have the earnings, revenues, and valuations. And on a third one, you have a fundamentals and technical data. And you have a consensus report in there that will let you know what the actual numbers did versus the consensus.
Got it. Yeah, so there's a lot of great helpful information.
You can download those and print those up. And
oh, you can do all of that.
They're updated every day.
LACapitalAdvisors.com. And then also, of course, for our audience, you're still offering the free.
We got a blog in there going.
We got a blog going now. And then you've got the free Morningstar report, which is like a comprehensive checkup of your investments, correct?
Yes.
Of our costs and performance and everything there. So LACapitalAdvisors.com. I know you wanted to mention one other thing because we got to make sure we're steering people straight here, that the purpose of the show, which I know you wanted to mention, this is us being smart, but the purpose of the show in terms of we're not giving advice, we're just giving
right
information.
Yeah, you can do what you want, and it's just general information, kind of let you know what's out there, what isn't out there, and you know, again, as we said this before, really be conscientious on who, if you're having a professional work with you, make sure they're working for you and not working for themselves. And we see that a lot, more than ever before. The conflict of interest in the business is very, very large. It is out of control. And there are certain consultants that by law do not have to disclose any conflicts of interest, which is sad. And it's kind of going through the Department of Labor right now. And, the opponents are, like we had Mark on earlier, politically, opposing.
Yeah.
Those rulings. So it's just make sure that your person is working for yourself and
that's
working
where we
for
get
you,
to,
I should say.
And that's where we get to use that fancy word, fiduciary, which I'm hearing it advertised more and more in terms of a relationship with a financial advisor, broker relationship. Explain to us again real quick, because I know other people are hearing these commercials. When we talk about, for example, you are a fiduciary, what does that mean?
A fiduciary under federal law is similar. There's three fiduciary professionals. One is the CPA, Certified Public
Accountants.
Then you have the legal representatives, the attorneys, and then you have the investment advisors. And that has to be stated on their card. And it goes back to that. You can call your consultant anything you want, anything, planner, advisor, whatever. But we can't call ourselves what we want. So the investment advisor is the only legal name that puts us into that category. Now, am I saying that making us better than anybody else? No, it doesn't. There's a lot of advisors out there that hire third-party firms to manage their assets, and really the advisor doesn't have anything to do with it. And it's disclosed in the documentation somewhere. It's, you know,
somewhere,
and you've got to find it. But it's easy to confuse advisors with brokers. You know, brokers are held to a level of suitability only. Period. And
a decent decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't have to disclose anything.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of what kind of relationship do you want.
But fiduciary, you absolutely have to act in the best interest of the clients first and foremost.
We have to act as if it's our own account.
And matters. That's super important. Okay, I had a question about gasoline prices. I heard earlier today we're at the lowest price in the last 7 years. The national average is about $1.81 or $1.70-something. We're in North Carolina, and you brought something to the table that, of course, is a big issue depending on where you live, and that's the gas tax. But before we get to that, why are gas prices so low? What's up with that?
Well, you have right now everybody overproducing. You have right now Iran back doing it again after they got that free money that we had for a while. And, well, I guess it was theirs. I guess it wasn't really free, but it was their money. And people just aren't burning it. They're not using it. But, you know, this state is 35 cents a gallon.
36.25 cents a gallon. And we're number 8 in North Carolina in the nation. For example, in Tennessee, where we have listeners, you guys are doing way better. 21.4 cents a gallon. That's 15 cents a gallon difference. They're number 39 in the country. We're on in Georgia, 32. They're number 16. So they're not doing great, 32.62. We're on in Florida, number 7, 36.42 cents per gallon. Those gas taxes can really kill you. Go to Texas, it's only 20 cents a gallon. Go to Louisiana, 20 cents a gallon. But here in North Carolina, where we're at, number 8 highest gas tax in the nation, 36 cents per gallon.
It's shocking to me to see that gas is still at $1.81. Given that we dropped below $23 a barrel recently.
Yeah, what? I mean.
And I just, that stuff I just don't understand. I mean, it's beyond me to see that our gas tax brings in about $400 million a year.
In North Carolina.
And yet this new budget coming up in March, $2.1 billion, that the governor wants to add more money to transportation. Not to mention, I believe, 900 plus million into the UNC system. And that just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
People look at bonds, really. Really, if you see a bond on a ballot, it should mean tax.
Well, that's what it is.
And that should be, the bond shouldn't even be on there.
It's more spending.
It should be a $2.1 billion tax.
Yeah.
Across the board. Yeah. And that's really what it is.
Well, hey, listen, when it comes to gas taxes, and then I want to get to the mix of the portfolio because we're going to run out of time. Hey, listen, but we can still catch up to California because they're only 6 cents more than we are per price per gallon.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that pathetic? California.
And I lived out there for 30 years.
And we're in the Bible Belt, baby, in an allegedly conservative state, and we're only 6 cents behind them per gallon in gas tax. Disgusting. Okay, so we're through January, which was crazy. We're in the first quarter of 2016. What should a portfolio mix look like? You mentioned cash. So how should this be broken
down?
We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Again, not recommendations, of course, but we are seeing some good movement in the consumer defensive positions. And I alluded to those earlier. And you could go online and look at those sectors specifically. I mentioned kind of Procter & Gamble, Dollar Tree, auto parts, those types of things that people are going to. And the discretionary side, which is free money that people kind of want to burn, is still doing very poorly. But all that means nothing if we don't have industry. If the industry is not working, we have no means to have transportation move it. So we don't need that. So that's why industry and materials are usually named in the same sector. Sometimes they're named outside of each other. But all three of those sectors are doing horrible.
Yeah, speaking of industry, isn't there a really disturbing number from December? Or something in the industries, the industrials, was down.
Yeah, we had the, what's it right here? The durable goods orders for December fell 5.1%, which was a disappointment compared to the expected minor -0.7 decline. While the volatile category of civilian aircraft orders showed a sharp decline, core orders were also down a significant 4.3% compared to the -0.2 expected.
Wow.
So it's, again, core shipments fell 0.2% compared to expectations of a positive 1% gain for the month. And, you don't have materials in industry. You certainly don't need transportation.
Right.
And those are the first three links of the chain of our economy. So if you don't have those three, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
So people are going to be defensive. They're going to, go to these discount stores, the specialty retailers.
Sure.
If you look at Bed Bath & Beyond, it looks like a slide.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, people are waking up. I mentioned Whole Foods, though.
Yeah.
It's a retail. It's really a specialty retail store.
Oh, and expensive because
yes.
of it.
Yeah. And so, when you look at a gallon of milk going for $4.99, and you could go to BJ's or Costco for under $3. And Aldi's was
Aldi for under what? $2.
Under $2. You have Aldi's expanding and another German competitor coming in.
So what would a defensive portfolio in this kind of environment look like? Cash.
Well, should
stocks.
Be cash. There's got some aggregate bonds in there, and we also have some defensive positions in there, and some large caps. a little bit of large caps in there that we're used
because
to seeing.
Because this is not your dad's stock market, and you really got to be paying attention.
Yes, it's not the same market.
And you got to be very,
because our grandfather was not buying in the market on borrowed funds. Jeez. And manipulating currencies.
Yeah, excellent.
Unlike now. Or people like Amazon, our analysts like Amazon, they crush the numbers, and they still fall 13%.
Yeah, it's a sinful, broken world right down into the world.
It goes
of
back to what we said. It's not our money. It's God's money.
That's right. Let's remember that when we spend every dime and whatever we can invest. Steve Lewis, LNA Capital Advisors, thanks for being here as always. LACapitaladvisors.com. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be live from a rescue mission talking to some guys that were down in the dumps. And now it's crazy what the Lord's doing. We'll talk to you then.